invite you, if you would like to take a look in your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 11, should be page 221, the Bibles that are in your pew. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but I want to remind us first of all that we're moving back into using the story, which hopefully you have. Maybe you've set it down during that Advent season, as we use Charlie Brown as our guide through Advent, but we're now through Advent and moving back into the story. And so again, we look at chapter 12, again focusing on David and focusing on his life and his reign as king of Israel. And we come to a point that is probably a pretty famous, difficult story. Let's put it that way. And that's the story of David and Bathsheba. And if you take a look through chapter 11, you can see all that happens with this. And I'd like to just read a few pieces of that this morning. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed, walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So from there, we find out that David sends for Uriah from the, again, front lines. And if you read on here, you see that he begins by telling Uriah, "Go home. You've had a hard go of it up front in fighting the fight. Go home. Be with your wife." But again, if you know or want to know the story, you find out quickly that Uriah doesn't do that. He doesn't feel it's fair. And so now David's got a bigger problem. He was hoping he would go home and be with his wife and be able to cover up the pregnancy. And so from there, David conceives yet another idea in which he purposely takes and sends Uriah to the front line. And in sending him to the front line, Uriah is killed in battle. And at the end of that chapter, we hear that when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. It's the word of God. I read a story as I was preparing for this message about a boy who grew up in the country. And part of growing up in the country for him was that there was no indoor plumbing. And in his own words, they had an outhouse. And over the course of time, early in his life, he realized he really did not like the outhouse very much. He believed and he knew in his heart that in the summertime, it was hot in the outhouse. In the wintertime, it was cold in the outhouse. And all the time, it was kind of stinky and smelly in the outhouse. Growing up, he did not like the outhouse. And so, one day, as he looked at the outhouse, as he realized that that outhouse stood right at a bank leading down to the river, he decided he would get rid of the outhouse. And so, spring came around. The water of the river kind of rose up, got a little closer to that outhouse, and he decided he was going to take this big stick, this big log, and place it under that outhouse, push it over, slowly over, down the embankment, into the river. Outhouse gone. Later on that day, towards the end of the evening, his dad walked up to him and said, "Son, we need to head to the wood shop. The woodshed, excuse me." And he knew in his mind that woodshed meant he was going to get punished. So he said to his dad, he said, "Hey, Dad," he said, "what's going on? I don't understand." He said, "Well, son," he said, "you know somebody tipped over the outhouse and sent it downstream in the river." He says, "And I think it's you." And the boy, kind of thinking in the top of his head, said, "Dad, it was me." And his father said, "Well, that's why we're headed to the woodshed." And quickly, he says, "But Dad, we're studying about George Washington in school. And George Washington, he lied, and then he fessed up. And when he fessed up, you know, he didn't get in any trouble for cutting down the whole cherry tree." And Dad looked at his son as they walked to the woodshed, and he said, "That's true, but George's dad was not in the tree when he cut it down." Most of us have not cut down a cherry tree. Maybe some of us have tipped over a few outhouses. I don't really know. But all of us here this morning can identify with that boy in three ways. The first way is that all of us have something inside that we want to do that is wrong. As we sit here in church this morning, there is something inside each of us that is naughty. Maybe even crosses that line past naughty, but something inside of us that we really want to do that's wrong. Secondly, that lack of goodness, okay, that lack of sometimes a filter, that desire to do that naughty thing affects others. And thirdly, closely related, there are always consequences to our choices. And when we look at David, we see this same truth, these same three things come screaming out in his life. We've got to understand that David is really in the midst of being, let's say, a rock star. I mean, he's a winner. He has taken things over. He's really raised up the nation of Israel. He is the rock star kid king. He has done well. He is on top of the world. He sent his troops out. They're fighting the fight. They're winning the victories. Israel is feared. And as he wanders the roof of the palace, that naughty side begins to creep out. As he looks upon Bathsheba, the inner demon rears its ugly head. As he calls her over, as he has this inappropriate rendezvous with her, as a child is conceived, all of this naughtiness comes out, and then it keeps flowing because here comes Uriah. one of his faithful servants off serving, and yet he's got to cover up things with this woman he's just had this affair with, and suddenly he finds himself sending him off to be murdered at the front lines. You see, that naughty thing inside of him came out. That naughty thing came raging out of him and took control of the rock star. And that lack of goodness definitely affected others. What would it have been to be like a woman who had an affair with a king while her husband was off to war? A label that you would not want to wear. Bathsheba was affected. What would it have been like to be and find out that your wife had slept with the king while you were off fighting? How much rage would there have been? And yet Uriah never got a chance to deal with that because his life was affected and he was murdered. There was the death of a baby. There was the rape of David's daughter by her brother. There was a son, Absalom, who rebels. You see, out of this demon from within, it affected the lives of so many. And then again, those consequences. That Absalom comes into power. Because of that, David flees his own kingdom. Absalom dies. His next son rebels as well. Israel is never, ever the same. The consequences go on and on and on. Just like George. Just like that little boy, just like David, we all have something inside of us. It can affect people. It can, again, have difficult consequences. How about each of us today? I'm asking you to do something that, quite honestly, most of us don't like to do. Look inside yourself. What demon is in there? I don't know what it is, but you do. You may not like to admit it. You might not like to look at it. Some of you might even be sitting here right now saying, I don't have one. But we all have it. That thing that's always there to tempt, that thing that is always there to pull out at us, it can be simple, it can be challenging, but it's there. As I thought about it, one of the, I'm going to say, simpler ones for me, if I can say it, this time of year, and it just happened again yesterday. Christmas cookies. Now you notice that the plastic is still on these. That's because I've already eaten 6 plates of these probably, all right? Inside of me cries out, go ahead, Paul, have another one. We all have that inner demon, but are we willing to confront it? Are we willing to admit to it? Because if not, the challenges begin to fall. Because people are affected. Sadly, as I think about this, I listened to the news this morning. And the news had this report on some young kids who decided to go to Ann Arbor. They were from Kalamazoo. I don't know if they were Western students. It didn't say. But there was a big pileup on 94. People were injured. Property was destroyed. Lives were affected because they went to Ann Arbor to party and to drink. And then they chose to drink and drive. and people's lives were affected. Again, the inner demon that said, I can do it, I can drink, I can do it, I can make it, and I can get away with it. Don't worry about it, I'll be okay, and yet lives are affected. Whether it be tipping over the outhouse, whether it be cutting down the cherry tree, whether it be sleeping with Bathsheba, whether it be eating a plate of cookies, whether it be drinking and driving, lives were affected. And through all of this, there will be consequences. There will be consequences. I can't imagine what the driver of the car that caused this accident is going to be facing in the next few weeks and months. Not only is there the loss of vehicles, not only are there injuries to people, but soon the lawsuits will begin. Soon the driver's license suspensions will begin. Soon the records will be written down for the rest of their life. And there will be consequences. You see, if we don't address the inner demon, if we don't address that naughty side of each of us and get a hold of it, then when we least expect it, when we find ourselves wandering the palace roof at night, when we think we've got it all together, that demon comes out. And when it comes out, it affects our lives and the lives of others. It has consequences that can shake the foundation of our lives. We've got to be willing to be proactive instead of reactive like David was. I would really like to stop right there. But there's another piece to this story. And I'll be honest with you, it's a piece that I really don't want to share with you right now. But I think I have to. It's a piece that allows us to put this back in the closet. And I don't like that. Because I think we should wrestle with the inner demon. I think we should look at our lives and name it. If it's alcohol, if it's gambling, if it's pornography, if it's working too much, if it's the love of money. I don't know what it is. It's there. You know it. But if you go on and you look in chapter 12, if you read the story and continue on, you find out that in the end, what David does is he confronts it. He says, Lord, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against my family and my people. I have screwed up by letting that demon out. Can you forgive me? And in that ability to confront, David begins a new relationship, a restored relationship with God. And that's the good news. But I truly believe it begins with a confession. I truly believe it begins with giving over the demons. I truly believe that it begins with saying, I need to be on top of this. And when it rears its ugly head, and when it affects, and when the consequences come, as painful as it is, remember the relationship with a loving, gracious God who might just take us to the woodshed a little bit, who might just allow us to feel like we've been in the woodshed a little bit, but in the end is willing to restore, renew, relight, revitalize, give rebirth to a relationship with God, with Christ. So this morning, as we face a new year just around the corner, it's time to look inside. It's time to be proactive. It's time to not be like David and look at the demons. And it might be time to be just like David, to confess it, to give it up, to give it over, and to restore the relationship with a Creator and with a Savior. Amen.